Okay, today is Tuesday, December 27th, 2016. And what's your name?
Robert Little, L-I-T-T-L-E. All right.
Is it okay that I'm interviewing you?
Yes.
All right. So, can you tell us about your connection to this area?
Well, my connection to this area is I was born here, raised here until the age of 16. 15. I say 15, stay safe. Until, like I said, Greenwood First Redevelopment Program started, and you had to move to Kearney Park. Well, you had first entrance into Kearney Park if you lived down here. But unfortunately, my family was the very last family to leave. The dogs hadn't gone wild running in and out the empty houses. My father wouldn't move. He finally did move. We moved up on 3rd Street, by the 3rd Street School. But it was something living down here. It was an experience. Racism, whatever, you know, festered down here a lot. Because on the weekends, people that lived out in the rural area in the country, worked the farm and whatnot, they came to Greenwood to do their shopping. All the stores started at 2nd Street, down, appliance store, clothing stores, Five Points, all of that started there. And when the African Americans finished their shopping, they came back here. We had the juke joint, yeah, right up here, with the great Evans Family Graveyard.
Oh yeah, right over here.
Right,
yeah.
Over here.
Yeah.
Okay, right next to it was a juke joint called B-Webs. People used to buy their beer, drink the wine, had a little alleyway with a mountain of wine bottles by that high. But it was life, you know. And it was a good life because I never knew we were so damn poor. Because I always had like pair of sneakers, pair of shoes for church and school, 3 pair of pants, 3 shirts, and a suit. So, and ate every day. So I really didn't grasp that poverty thing.
Yeah.
But I grew up in poverty.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful way to grow up because my mother and my father made sure we had everything that we needed to survive. My father was a provider. And I tried to paddle my way right after him, even to this day.
What'd your father do?
He was an ice man for Colonial Ice Company. They provided all the ice for the city. The drugstores, you know, but all their shaved ice and everything.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Well, he made ice. And coal. He delivered coal during the winter. He had a rough job. He got up every morning at 5 o'clock, go to work. When I got up, he was gone. That's when I needed some money in school. We were back there before I left. But that was life down here on the river. And back over here, on the other side where the radio tower was, right at the boat landing, Mr. Moore, Morris Moore.
He is. We need to get touch. I know him.
That gave all the land to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He owned all the yellow houses back here. He had an oyster house. My father worked in that on the weekend.
Wow.
And he was a pretty nice man. Very nice man. My mother worked for him domestically. You know, cleaning the house, cooking for him and whatnot, when she didn't do seasonal work. We grew up here during the summer. If you didn't want to get wet, but wanted to learn how to swim, come down to the river with a pair of short pants on, and guarantee your brother would throw you in. And the only way you could get out, you had to learn how to swim out. You had to swim out. Wouldn't nobody try to help you out, you were on your own. You know, so we learned, didn't we? Nobody never drowned that way. But the river did claim somebody every year. Every year, Tar River would claim a victim.
Yeah.
Sometimes be so deep, you know, you couldn't go near it. Sometimes you could walk all the way across because it wouldn't be number ankle deep.
You had said earlier that living here that It was a village that raised the children.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you could get caught doing something wrong. One of the neighbors say, particularly me, they're, you know, not particularly me, but say me per se. Bobby, come here. Yes. Pull the bed off. Tear your ass up. And wait for your mom to get home or your daddy. I prefer my daddy to come home first. Because my mama didn't know how to stop beating. You know, from the neck down, you belong to my mom. Anyway, that's how it was. They would get, you know, they give you a spanking. They didn't really hurt you. You know, it wasn't abusive. Yeah. But you got your butt beat.
Yeah.
Then when your parent came home, you got another butt beat. And it taught you a lot more respect and to be a better person than what you wanted to be. It prevented you from straying to the left. Straight to the left a little too far, you might not come back. So it kept us in line with your parents, with invisible parents at that time. Mm-hmm. Your parents weren't present, but you know their will was.
Yeah.
It was great. I have no complaints. I have a lot of great memories about it. Looks small now, but when I was a kid growing up, it was a huge area.
Yeah.
But now all the houses are gone. The land seems like it shrinks. But this place was something. River flood, it come about halfway up here. You know?
Wow.
We have a playground down here. We play football during the winter on the bottom level next to the river. The second level, we play baseball. The third level up top was, you know, that.
That's great.
Family, whatever you want to play, any kind of board game.
That's great.
And it was always something to do during the summer.
That's
kept us from doing things that we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
9 o'clock, you would be down here. Your sweetie, who Eleanor Hagen died last summer, she ran the playground. And she was like our mother. She raised her. Anybody that you talk to, that's, I'll say, 70 or younger, I'm 65, would tell you the same thing. She was part of your life.
Wow.
Very good lady, very good.
So I asked you about church earlier, and you said that you didn't have any choice.
I didn't have any choice, but it got me where I am today with my teachings, my belief in God. Because if I hadn't, I don't know if my faith would be as strong as it is today.
Yeah.
You know, because it had a lot. I mean, Sycamore Hill had a lot with doing to do with molding me as the person I am today. Because
that's
I
wonderful.
Love my Lord. And I give Him all the honor and praise each and every day. Thank Him as soon as I wake up. Because without Him, I am nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, give thanks to Sycamore Hill, Reverend Nemo, Reverend Mosley, and after that, I don't know who.
Yeah,
but
funny.
As a kid, Reverend Nemo was the first pastor. Then he passed away, and Reverend Mosley became pastor. And I went right through high school with Reverend Mosley because he was a substitute teacher also.
Wow.
But it was good. We had a beautiful church inside. I mean,
seeing the photos of it is beautiful.
It was stained glass, nice pipe organ. That place was, could have been a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
It was a landmark because when you came from the north side across the river, then you saw sitting there.
Yeah.
It was this beautiful church.
Yeah.
And I mean, the red brick sitting there, it was beautiful.
We've heard a lot of people.
Back in that time, you think that church was a white church, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, the oldest church in Greenville. Beautiful. Very beautiful.
We've heard lots of people talk about the bells, too.
Yeah. I used to see them sometimes. Who didn't?
Yeah, I know. How could you not?
Who didn't?
That would be very tempting.
Yeah. And the church. Yeah, you entered the church about right here somewhere. About halfway between here and the two trees, going to the Sunday school. had concrete floors, but the basement was so cool, we thought air conditioning, but it wasn't air conditioning. That's one thing I love about it. That's why I didn't mind going to vacation Bible school during the summer. They fed you and you was in the cool. So
That's wonderful. We just have appreciated everybody. So many people have said the same, some of the, echoed the same things about how wonderful the community was.
It was.
Everything.
And still some of my mother friends are still living. Some of mine are still living. And we're still like family because we think that people that, we call this section downtown, and the people that live down there, we thought we're the best ones in Greenville.
Well, the ones we met today, I would think that rings true.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been some of the best people.
Yeah.
So, you said that your family was the last one that
we were the very last ones to move out of here. And actually, I didn't know it for a minute, you know, because people just, day by day, each family would disappear. Then I realized I coming home one night from up Fifth Street way. No noise, no nothing. And all I could hear were them dogs in this house growling and snarling. I said, oh God, I got to run. And I got home. I said, Mom, are we the only ones left down here? She said, yep. And I got angry because I felt my father didn't want to move.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing for me to go to school the next day because kids want to pick him. You know, kids can be cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't really get any of that, but a couple of them go, Bobby, y'all the last one living down there. Y'all living down there in the ghost town. Well, so be it. But we moved right away after that, after I found out we were the last ones.
I know that had to be a hard transition.
Yeah. I was just glad to get down here. Didn't want to be down here by myself.
Wow. That was kind of scary.
We had a little vandalism. Like I said, I ran into racism. White college kids, because like down right at the end, before they built the road all the way through with the creek. So you had to go to 2nd Street, go around to like Summit and all that. But they started, when they made a new road through here, we call it New Road. Kids come back, college kids might not want to throw big rocks up on your porch. Got to be set up on the hill. The street level down there was low because they made a new road, you know. Good thing I'm not like I am. It wasn't like I am then, like I am today. Because yeah, I probably would be here, probably be in jail, you know. That's another reason I thank God.
Yeah.
The road up says a few things to my mother that I will never forget. If I ever got my hands on you, I wouldn't forgot it, but that was the 60s. Hatred doesn't thrive now like it did. So I can forget. I honestly can forget. Keep on forgetting. This neighborhood has a lot of good and a lot of bad, but the good outweighs the bad. I mean, hands down, the good that come out of this neighborhood totally outweighs the bad. I can't come up with enough ways that that was real bad that happened down here. You know, incidents that occurred, nothing you could do about them. But as a whole, great neighborhood. Because some people came up down that river on their boats, but not kids down there. We throw rocks across the river, oyster shells, to try to make them sail all the way across. But everybody was one then.
Yeah.
Got along, spoke, how you doing, Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, and all that. You know, it just seemed to be right most of the time.
That's great. That's wonderful.
That's it in a nutshell. It's a good neighborhood, very good neighborhood.
We just appreciate you talking to us. We just feel like it's so important to record the whole history and for people to be able to.
It's more I probably could talk about, but
Well, we can definitely. We hope that we can go back and talk more to people, not out in the cold, but we today wanted to make sure we got some short interviews. So if you'd like to talk to us again, we'd love to set up another time, maybe come talk to you. But is there anything else before we...
No. I'd be going back talking about my childhood, how I used to play up underneath the willow trees and stuff like that. But I basically tell you that. Yeah.
We appreciate it. Well, we'll stop this, and then even though you didn't know we were going to try to take your photo, we'll see if you allow us to take your photo.
I'm in.